Welcome back to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. My name is Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital, the sports tech venture capital company. And on this show, I get the opportunity to interview top sports entrepreneurs, athletes, and executives who are shaping and many times changing the overall sports industry. You could subscribe to our show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on our 76 Capital website. Today, my guests on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show are Matt Holt, CEO of IC360, and Eric Frank, president of IC360. I'm so excited to have this conversation with both of you and talk about the merger of your two companies, US Integrity and Odds On Compliance, now IC360. Well, let's just get right to it. Matt and Eric, welcome back to our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, man. It's so great to have you guys. Thanks for being back on the show. Matt, I'll start with you. How did this whole thing come together between US Integrity and Odds On Compliance?
Well, I think it started with some conversations. You know, you put Eric and I together years ago now, and we immediately recognized the synergies between the two businesses. And then, of course, there was the secret meeting in Iowa to get everybody together. With the best Italian food we ever had. So, I mean, it ended up being an amazing meeting. I don't know if the timing was right, but we started jointly looking into a project to solve a solution. And that's what I think was always the basis to solve a problem. I mean, and I think that was always the basis of Eric and I coming together, is we were both industry problem solvers, working without all the different stakeholders and constituents throughout the different sports betting ecosystem to solve different problems that they had. And one that we jointly identified was prohibited better. And I think it really sort of got, you know, brought to the public light starting in 2022 with Calvin Ridley and all the NFL suspensions, and then Iowa and Iowa State. And Eric and I said, boy, is this a problem we can solve? And we understood that it's a problem that existed since 2018. It's been in all the rigs. Everybody identified it as a problem, but there wasn't a practical technological solution to that problem. And a lot of it had to do with the transfer of personal information for players, coaches, trainers. And we said, well, how do we solve this problem without transferring any personal information? And we came up with some double encryption technology. We worked through some of the biggest professional sports league security departments to make sure we were meeting every threshold and standard they had. And we jointly built and launched a product. And that experience gave us an opportunity to not just talk about our two companies and how we had aligned visions and how we thought of the industry similar, but what was it like working together under very stressful timelines where we had to spec out, build, and launch, and then sell a product and get engagement on it. And we accomplished all of it in 6 months. And we still didn't hate each other. Eric might hate me a little, but the fact that we still enjoyed working with each other so much, and our relationship only grew during that time. We became more than partners, but friends. And we said, boy, this makes perfect sense to put these two teams together. And I could say it's been nothing but fantastic.
That's tremendous. That's tremendous. Eric, I mean, I'd love to get your take on and what made this whole opportunity attractive to you and Mark and the whole team at Odds On.
Yeah, I think exactly like Matt said. I mean, it was ProBet was a phenomenal opportunity for our teams to work together, and it wasn't just Matt and Scott and the leadership team at US Integrity that was working with myself and the leadership team at Odds On. It was our technology teams that working together. It was our sales teams that were working together. It was our PR teams that were working together, and to me, it was a period of dating. And it just made so much sense that, you know, at the end of this, we had a successful product that launched, I think, probably quicker than any of us thought we could launch it. We're able to get engagement and sales quicker than I think we ever thought we would, and have it running. And so it made sense that, from our perspective, that, look, here's an opportunity to work with folks there who are driven, who have the same goal of creating a one-stop platform, one location for integrity and compliance solutions for the industry and problem solving. So to me, that period just solidified what I already knew and had known about Matt and the team at USI is that they've had a strong reputation across the ecosystem, not just with the sports leagues, but sports operators and regulators as well. And the pro bet opportunity just really brought it all together.
I mean, Matt, has there been anything that's sort of surprised you at this point? I mean, you sort of knew going into this. And again, being kind of in the middle of all this, being on both of your boards, being investors in both of your companies is really, certainly gave me the overall kind of bird's eye view as to what was going on across both companies. And as I looked at it and said, well, wow, this is we got to get these guys together. I mean, first of all, I think they'll really like each other. I think the teams will really work well together. But, was there something, Matt, that you saw that was like, wow, I didn't know this part about what was going on at Odds On, and now I'm really happy that I have that as part of what we have as part of the whole business today.
Well, we always thought, at the highest level, that all of the products and services that we build separately, independently, had built would be applicable to the different stakeholder groups, but it really didn't come to light until we came together. And I think a perfect example is a product that Eric and his team had built prior to the merger, an amazing SaaS product called Playbook.ai. And at the time, Playbook.ai was mostly used by operators or regulators or the licensed regulated side of the industry. And immediately, as soon as we merged, we said, wow, this product is amazing. Well, why can't we sell it to colleges and leagues and teams? Because at the end of the day, them understanding the regulatory environment is just as important as a regulator or an operator or a vendor or a supplier. So right out of the gate, there are all these cross-selling opportunities between the two companies and our products that I don't think we ever initially identified when we were going through the process. And the products may have been built for a specific reason. Hey, we're building this to help operators and suppliers have a better understanding of all these different regulatory frameworks. But we quickly realized so many of these products were applicable to every single customer base we had. And thus the cross-selling opportunities immediately really, sort of shown was, wow, this is an even bigger opportunity than maybe we realized.
Well, I think one of the things that I know that both of you are really excited about, and Eric, it's something that on the Odds On side that you've started to do a lot is really this global expansion. I mean, doing things outside of the U.S. and having employees outside of the U.S. starting to have work with clients all across the world it's something that now it's really exciting to see how IC360 is going to do this, do everything, all over the world.
Yeah, no, I think it's certainly, it's an important element of our growth. And I think what's unique about the position we're in is sports betting isn't brand new to the rest of the world, right? It's been there. And there's antiquated solutions for a lot of issues out there. But the uniqueness of particularly of what USI has done and with their integrity monitoring dashboard, which is light years ahead of anything in the space in terms of monitoring for match fixing and other issues, is they have the opportunity to take a fairly new business, 5-6 years of sports betting in the US, and build technology for today and for tomorrow, not for yesterday. And so I think what we've learned from our advisory business and some of the clients that we deal with abroad is that they are really excited about new technology that can help them not only do their jobs more efficiently and more cost effective, but be more impactful to the to the integrity of the business, to the compliance aspects of the business. And I think I'm really excited about helping Matt and the entire IC360 team grow the integrity monitoring and integrity piece of the business. We're having discussions globally on ProBet as well. Unique challenges, obviously, in different parts of the world. Privacy is thought of and differently in other places of the world, but some of the solutions we have have been and are adaptable to solving those already. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I know that there's a lot that you guys are doing to bring together the teams and the different technology, but I know there's also a lot of really exciting things on the roadmap, and maybe a couple of things that you can talk about right now that you're doing that will be some of the next big things that we'll see out of IC360.
I think it starts with education initiatives for us, and one of the things that we really learned is that while this industry is rapidly iterating and rapidly evolving in North America, and I don't think anyone thought that, hey, less than 6 years in, into the repeal of PASPA, that there'd already be 40 jurisdictions here in the United States open, so many tribal jurisdictions, and we're seeing Canada and other North American jurisdictions open quickly. So as we do that, it's really exciting. And what we've noticed is the rules are all just sort of thrown together. We all just want to launch. I think COVID really expedited some launches. But now we've had some time since COVID, since PASPA was repealed. And one of the things we're learning is education and awareness is key. It's hard enough to, constantly understand 40 different states already, plus the District of Columbia and all the different regulatory frameworks they have, but add in over 200 tribal jurisdictions in the United States. And how does anyone keep up with 250 sets of rules and regulations and how it impacts them and their professional or collegiate sports teams or businesses? So education has really become a forefront product for us, not just at colleges, not just at professional teams and leagues, but operators and regulators and suppliers and vendors, making sure that they have access to the right on-site education and training programs, and then the right online education and training and programs so that can better service the employees, the staff, the athletes, all the individuals at these different organizations. A huge initiative for us that we're really expanding our efforts into in 2024.
Yeah. Matt, I'd love for you to expand on that a little bit. I mean, I know you've, maybe even just share a story or two. I mean, you're the fact is that, so many individuals and executives at the leagues, at different conferences, their whole careers were told to stay away, just say no to the world of gaming and sports betting. And now it's become such a big part of their overall day and their business. And now they have to really learn. So I'm assuming that's where this education program is really headed towards.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, we did about 30 on-site education sessions for some of our client universities, and it went amazing. They were so thankful. They all asked us to come back. Then last year, with word of mouth spreading on how successful those were and so many more sports betting initiatives in the space, we were asked to do about 75. And suddenly we woke up this year with hundreds of requests for on-site and online education curriculums. And I'm not, in the last couple of years, it's been myself and Scott and just USI employees going out there doing these things. So we went out and said, who are the other folks that are really committed to sports betting education, regulated gaming education initiatives in the space? And we found a couple of wonderful people and Mark Potter and Dan Trelaro, who have a history of educational efforts here in North America and abroad. Mark's done so many educational efforts abroad as well. And so we were really fortunate to get to hire both of them to sort of lead our rapidly expanding education efforts now. And we're putting a lot of resources into these and a lot of resources into the programs with the goal of not only do we hope that it's a revenue driver for IC360 as we continue to grow, but we hope that there's some societal benefit, that some amount of prohibited bettor issues and integrity issues and maybe illicit gambling issues will start to succeed down, because what we will see is because people are more educated, because they're more aware, because they have a better understanding of regulations and how they impact that individual stakeholder, that maybe we'll see less of these instances as a whole. So we're pretty excited, not only as a new revenue vertical, what education could mean to us, but the industry-wide benefits that it could also provide.
Yeah, Eric, I mean, I see you shaking your head on that. I know you want to add something there, and I want to just ask you on this. I mean, who are some of the different, when you kind of break it down, the different groups that you're targeting this education basically curriculum to?
Yeah, first and foremost, it's an expansion of the amazing education product that USI had previously been offering. As Matt said, they went from 30 schools to 100 plus in you know 18 months. I mean, it's just pure just acknowledgement of the solid product that they're offering and around sports betting integrity. And what is sports betting? You know, the basics of sports betting, and now to combine that with some of the lived experience that Mark and Dan and that team bring, it just creates a holistic product that really is. There's nothing like that out there in the space. So I think first and foremost, it's solidifying, expanding the offering to the existing customers. Then we take that and look at some of the online education opportunities, because not everyone has the opportunity to sit for an hour and hear Mark's story. But you know, we need to find a way to present that on a more global basis because the impacts are not just happening in the places we're able to get Dan and Mark and others to, but So building out a full-on suite online course education around integrity, around lived experience, around the core compliance products as well that Odds On has helped historically folks from an advisory perspective on responsible gaming and AML, anti-bribery. There's an expansion of the offerings, and then the targeted customer base expands not beyond just the leagues and schools that have historically been trained, but also the operators and suppliers and anyone who, quite frankly, needs to touch the space. Even we've talked about the importance of education on college campuses beyond just the athletes, right? I mean, there's people on college campuses that struggle with problem gambling addiction, and how do we help support the industry, not just again to grow IC360's bottom line, but to to make sure that we can be a positive impact for those folks as well.
You know, and one of the things I know that you also talk about a lot, Eric, is that it's even more than the teams, the leagues, the conferences. It's also some of the major technology companies in the world. When you think about some of the biggest players, and how important role they currently play, and potentially even a bigger role in the future. I know that's an area that you have a lot of focus on.
Yeah, we've helped, in addition to top tier operators and operators across the industry and suppliers in this space. We've helped, Fortune 100 companies, Fortune 3 companies, understand how this industry impacts their businesses, and really help them get ahead of not only the licensing concerns but other regulatory concerns, and build relationships with regulators and operators that they're looking to sell to. So, we offer that service, and that goes beyond technology companies. We work with, some of the largest hotel chains around the world, around the globe, that are now involved or having deals or involved and engaged with sports betting companies. So it's fascinating, how this is a very small industry, and everyone knows each other in the industry, but the industry touches so many people beyond your standard sports betting companies and top suppliers.
Well, Matt, you mentioned earlier, people are kind of surprised, I guess, how fast things have grown. How big is this industry today, and what are some of the, maybe talk about some of the historical numbers over the last couple of years, and where you think it's going to go this year and even beyond?
Yeah, look, I remember being at a company called Canner Gaming, where I was an executive, and And we launched the first regulated mobile sports betting app in Las Vegas and thus in Nevada and thus in the United States. And at that time, I remember a time in around 2012 where we did around 1.5 billion of handle at a time when the entire state of Nevada only did around 2.7, 2.8 billion of handle. And that was just 12 years ago, where the entire regulated U.S. marketplace was 2.8 billion of handle done here in the state of Nevada. And even the first year after PASPA was repealed, or the first year prior, 2017, it was around 5.7, just shy of 6 billion in handle. And then we look at the 2023 numbers 6 years later, $130 billion legally wagered in the United States in 2023, and a number that is expected to fly through $150 billion legally wagered in the United States in 2024. Nobody could have thought it would have happened so fast that we would go from 2.7 billion to 160 billion. Just amazing how fast this all exploded. But with explosion and rapid expansion that happens that fast comes challenges in terms of, again, education, awareness, regulatory frameworks. And we're fortunate to work with folks like Eric, who have such a vast knowledge of the space. And now we can go out there and help the industry solve problems as it iterates to get better. The one thing, if you talk to any operator, regulator, supplier, team, league, university, everybody wants this industry to do better, to have better regulatory framework, to have better enforcement, more transparency, better oversight. Because at the end of the day, we all have so much riding on it. Sports is a part of the fabric of society in the United States and has been for centuries now. And at the end of the day, in 2018, May 14, 2018, the repeal of PASPA, sports and sports betting collided in the United States, and they would never be pulled apart again. And what we have learned is, when done responsibly, there is no better customer acquisition tool than sports betting. It is, you know, we see the studies that show people are 20 times more likely to watch an event they have a bet on than one they don't have a bet on. Even if that a bet is only $5, just having some stake in the game, some engagement to the activity that they're watching, makes them 20 times more likely to watch that event than someone who has zero stake on the game. And then all of a sudden you introduce someone to a new sport because they threw $5 on it. They like the sport. Now, because they like the sport, they buy merchandise, they buy tickets, they become a fan. It's a wonderful entry into the ecosystem when done responsibly. And Eric and I's hope is that we could continue to help the industry flourish responsibly with the right safeguards, the right compliance, the right integrity protocols, and the right in education and awareness campaigns so that we can all continue to grow and flourish together. You know, it's the rising tide raises all ships, and we want to make sure that we're an integral part of that.
Well, you know, one of the things that I know that kind of gets you, you know, all of us a little bit frustrated at times, is when we hear from leaders in the, you know, across the industry, I would say the sports industry in some cases, and they say, we're just gonna, you know, you can't bet on these certain things, whether it's, you hear about prop bets in college and you're like, wait a second, we're just gonna say you hear the, in some cases where it's like they shouldn't be allowed. Well, I think there's a little bit of a problem with that. I know that we kind of, it's one of those things where I'd love to hear what you guys think about when someone says, like, we should just ban this type of betting or something like that. And what happens if that actually does happen?
There's a terrible risk associated with banning certain types of events that we will drive the people who want to wager on those events to underground mechanisms in which we have zero transparency to track or monitor. But on the other side, we can't have those same organizations also out there lobbying for less compliance or less oversight. No, we need more compliance and more oversight to ensure that we're able to offer this massive, expansive menu. We agree with these industry leaders. We want transparency. We want the ability for these markets to remain in the regulated space so that the tax revenue is being regulated, so that the oversight and integrity monitoring and education and awareness is being regulated so that it can all be tracked. But in order to do that, we also have to continue to push for the right type of regulation and the right type of oversight. We can't say we want less regulation, we want less oversight, but we want you to also continue to allow us to expand the menu. It doesn't work. So at the end of the day, look, we need more regulation, we need more oversight, but in doing so, it allows us to expand the menu basically limitless as long as we have the right information for those markets.
Yeah, Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to add, I mean, when you drive that kind of betting offshore and onto illegal sites, it doesn't just impact the bottom line of the state and the tax revenue, but it makes the games more susceptible to match fixing and everything, because it's, to Matt's point, it's not being monitored the way it is. So it has a trickle down impact, because if we're talking just about certain prop bets in a game, those prop bets are taking place in a game and that game may have betting on it. And so while certain plays may get impacted from a match fixing perspective because it's driven offshore, like that has also an impact on the regulated markets and the existing approved events that are taking place onshore as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I'd love to sort of wrap up with here as we're winding down this episode. I mean, it's so great to have both of you on the show and to hear, you know, the future and all the exciting things that are happening at IC360. And I'm just so excited about this. And the fact is that, you know, what an important role that this company plays in the overall regulated sports betting industry. And, you know, maybe, you know, at this point, sort of talk a little bit about, you know, your teams, your partners, your board. I mean, this has really been a great thing where I've just been able to see all of you come together and just the excitement of everybody and thinking about what you're going to all build together and what's next year.
I think our board is as diverse and experienced as the two teams are combined. Obviously we both shared you, Wayne, as a sort of a common board member. But when you think of the fact that we have Laura Lynn Sandoval from a huge publicly traded gaming company like Aristocrat, and Robin and the experience he brings, not just in the North American gaming market, but abroad in international gaming markets. We really are fortunate to have advisors and board members who bring a vast wealth of experience and knowledge in this industry. And that helps us because we all have limitations. Eric and I are humble enough to admit that we have limitations. Look, we could not be any more excited about the business we built, about the positioning that we have at the center of the ecosystem, and the opportunities it has presented us to build this amazing company. But we also understand that building massive companies isn't something we've both done before. And having that expertise of folks like yourself and Laura Lynn and Robin really is what allows us to sort of continue to grow and take those next giant steps.
And that diversity, I think, is so critical to what IC360 literally stands for: integrity, compliance, 360. And it's, you know, 360 around the globe, 360 in terms of the entirety of the RegTech opportunities. We want to be the centerpiece of all of that, and I think that's that starts with the leadership, that starts with the board, the advisory committees that we have. And quite frankly, the team behind us that is eager and willing to work as hard as any team in the industry to make this a success.
Well, it's really been exciting again having you on the show, talking about what's happening with integrity side of the business, the compliance side of the business, the new piece and the growth of the education piece, not even new, really the growth of what's happening there. So excited to hear about what's happening there. Hopefully you guys will come back another time and bring some more exciting news. I mean, it seems like you're always breaking news every single week. So thank you so much for coming onto the show. And it's always great to see both of you guys.
Thanks, Wayne.